Reiko here, your friendly neighborhood witch. Now, I know what you're thinking, but you're safe here. It's okay to not be okay. And self-love is always going to be the best love. Self-care is going to be the best care. Now, join me as we let out some steam and become a little less stress and more carefree. Come join me over our weekend detox and let's detox together, because we always want to protect our energy.
Opening. Hi guys, it's Reiko, your friendly neighborhood witch. I am never gonna have a straight opening after 2 years of doing this, guys. This is literally season two finale. 2 years. God, can you believe that like 2 years ago I harassed you one day and be like, hey, me and you, breakfast, let's make a podcast. And if y'all didn't know, that's my sister slash manager over to the side, and I'm just having conversations. She will not respond back because she doesn't love me. It's okay. Oh my god, so she's ragging on me because I used to just not do research on my podcasts. I used to just like randomly get a subject that would get me very heated, and I will vent about it for like 30 minutes to an hour and then wouldn't do research on it. Like, I was literally just giving y'all whatever the fuck came to my mind, which is like a podcast essentially, and that's ultimately how my life started. So everybody's here today. I'm going to be the only one on camera. But yeah, it is, it's been a good 2 years. So let's just dive into it. Cause guess what? I'm a millennial and seasonal depression is a thing, and that shit sucks. Or situational depression. You could say it that way. Situation. What is the other scientific terms for the seasonal depression? I had it for a research paper, and I can't remember. Seasonal affective disorder? Yeah, that's exactly what it is, because I did a paper on it last semester. Well, this semester, but, you know, class ended.
Sorry.
What is he doing?
He's eating cords.
Why are you like this, you weirdo? Stop! That's not good for your stomach. Weirdo. My cat is eating Velcro, because he has a thing for Velcro. Weirdo.
I'm so sorry I shouted no.
Oh, no, you're fine. It's okay, because he's not going to learn his fucking lesson anytime soon. But, yeah, we've literally done this. I love how people have no patience for me to, like, respond back to them. And it's low-key aggravating. I have no clue what just popped up. Hey! Thank you again for subscribing for 16 months! Our baby is now born and now, what, four months old. Great. We have a whole Twitch baby together. Cool. Awesome. I really wish I had real babies. You know, crotch goblins are amazing. It's, except for other people who are making faces at the idea of crotch goblins. It's okay. I love how two of the three of us were like, crotch goblins. Like, I just don't get it. So, speaking of millennials and stuff, I literally, y'all know I'm horrible at promoting my stuff. I'm a little weird as a millennial. There's a lot of us out in the world, but I'm not the only one about it. I don't social media well. I don't promote myself well. And then I'm also very, I think about things before automatically saying it. I used to be very impulsive, which a lot of millennials have problems with, where they're very impulsive and they do things or say things. So when I get messages, like, that's what made me just kind of look down at my phone. I got a message from somebody that I haven't talked to for years. Now, mind you guys, I have gone through a lot of shit in my life. And I'm one of those people, like, you kind of get, like, one chance with me. I don't double back on things a lot of the time. But I had a person who randomly came up to me and was just like, hey, where do we stand? I mean, like, there was a whole incident between me and somebody else, and I think that me and you could be really good friends. And, like, they're really, like, the way they're shooting their shot at friendship is how you would shoot your shot with somebody you want to date. And they were like, and they didn't wait for me to, like, respond to it. Like, I have a busy life schedule, so it's just like, I can't, I don't respond to people in a timely manner, especially when I got a lot of stuff going on. So, like, it's weird because even then, like, Kat realized that, like, I may not respond to her immediately. And she doesn't, like, chastise me about it because she realized that, you know, maybe she's busy. Or maybe she, you know, got stuck in the YouTube stuff. And the way my brain is set up now and wired, it's so weird. Sometimes I actually do catch things. Sometimes I don't. But then also, if it's something I don't have to think about, I will respond back immediately. And usually she doesn't send me things that I have to think about. Like, this person is, like, they've done some really shitty shit in their past. And, like, you randomly dropped out. And I've been a certain way my entire life. If you lose my friendship, you don't come back as a friend. You don't think that you could just come back and things will be just glitter and gold like it was before you left. But you're coming to me like, oh, how are we standing? I think we should be like really good friends, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, oh, let me think about this because I have to think about, do I need to have more people? Because I am a very shitty friend. Unless you live with me, I can go months without talking to you. Months. Months. I think Kat is the only exception to the rule because if I don't talk to her once a day, I think we both kind of got into the habit of thinking that one of us is mad at each other because it's just how our relationship is. Everybody else, though, is just like, you get me like once every blue moon whenever I think of you, but Kat is never not allowed to send me Kat memes at least once a day. If she doesn't send me one once a day, I think she's mad at me and I feel like, oh my God, what the fuck did I do wrong? Let me go talk to her and I'll go knock on her door, like, I love you. Are you mad at me? But that's the only thing is, like, a lot of people are very impatient. If you really want something, even if it is a friendship with me, you have to have a lot of patience. Like, I have so many fucking things on my plate. So many things on my plate right now. And no offense to people, but I literally just lost somebody. I walked away from a very, very, very toxic mental health situation involving another friend who was very verbally abusive, very, very, very stuck in their own dementia or like their own delusions. And I walked away from something because they were also blacklisting me. And it was just bad. And the thing is, the way I handled the situation was a lot better than most people would handle it. I could have, like, really, like, shammed them and all kinds of other stuff. But you know what? I just feel like at the end of the day, whatever's in the dark comes into light. And two wrongs don't make a right. And if I sit here and I be a mean asshole about it, I would just be a very bad person. So I'm like, I'm not going to do that. So I am very patient. I am very calm. I weigh things out. I just don't want to jump into something and be like, yeah, let's be friends. We're not kids anymore. I am about to be 31 years old. In 4 months. Oh, God. I'm feeling old. I keep telling myself I'm not old because 31 is not old, but God, I'm about to be 31 in 4 months.
Welcome. Welcome.
To the club. Triggered seasonal depression. Okay, but I digress. As millennials, we have high expectations on ourselves. We have high expectations of other people. We expect things of instant. And I actually just had a conversation before the cameras actually popped up, is I actually blame the American dream. I mean, as somebody from the U.S., I can blame the American dream, and this is my logic behind it. And again, I told you guys, my podcast is just basically things that pop into my head, and then I vent about it, and you guys just get the bulk end of me venting about a subject that was really heavy on my mind at the time. But think about it. The American dream, depending on who actually, how it's portrayed, is money, wealth. For women, it's getting married, having kids, having a white picket fence in a house, and a great husband who doesn't cheat on ourselves. And again, the American dream has changed over the years as people have gotten through life. At first, the American dream was come into America and make something of yourself and, you know, make sure your children don't marry pieces of shit and all this other stuff. But as it goes through generation, like the older generation to our generation, our parents tell us, we don't want you to have the same upbringing we had. We don't want you in the same stuff, the same garbage. Like, my dad will tell me stories all the fucking time about the things that he did. Like, at first, he didn't tell me, like, the full details of some of the stuff that he's done as, like, a kid in my age, in his early 20s. Because, again, my parents got married in their 20s. My dad had a very eventful life for the most part. He joined the military. He got married to my mom. She was barely 18 when they got married. And then, like, they had me, and then they didn't stay together after much longer after my brother was born, because military life is very stressful. And my mom joined the military while they were still together, and it was just a long fucking slew of bullshit. But then I also witnessed a lot of stuff that happened with my mom after she got out the military and all the crap that she went through. So I know what my mom went through, but my dad, on the other hand, I don't know what he went through. I don't know how they were raised. I don't know their upbringing. I know my grandfather was not the easiest person to live with, because golly... Benjamin Thompson was not a very nice man to his grandkids. I feel like he was never nice to me, and it is what it is. But, you know, it's a little weird how to go about it, I guess, in a way, essentially. But my dad is essentially a Generation X baby. So both my mom and my dad are Generation X babies. And their whole goal thing is, I always ask my dad, like, when I got older and me and him were a little bit more on a talking scale and more like I wasn't still like his little 7-year-old daughter that, you know, he left when my mom eventually chased him out or whatever, however the story's been, depending on which parent you talk to. Either my dad left because he was tired of my mom, or my mom kicked him out, whatever, whichever parent you talk to at the time. I really don't know. I wasn't there during their fights. Is... My dad has always told me that, like, he didn't want me to end up like him. He wanted me to have a life. He wanted me to not work, like, as hard as he did. Which, essentially, we still end up working just as bad as they did. And they complain about, oh, yeah, back in my day, minimum wage was XYZ. Yeah, minimum wage may be, like, $10. Well, sorry, $8 and some change in some states still. Some minimum wage is still less than $10 in some states. But... we still deal with a lot. Yeah, we are a generation that we feel like instant gratification is there. And I feel like Generation X kind of fucked us up because they didn't want us to live like how they did. So what they did was they gave us everything that they didn't get growing up. So we got everything. We got the instant gratification, which fucked us up as adults. So now as adults, we expect to do minimum work and get the reward of it. So we don't have the patience. We don't have all this stuff. I don't know if you guys have parents like my parents. Well, I'm going to tell you the good side of my punishment. Whenever I did have punishment with my mom, was my mom used to make me look up stuff in the dictionary. I actually started enjoying it. I actually loved reading because of that. And then at that point, my mom used to tell me to go read a book. And then after a while, she realized I started enjoying reading a book. So now physical punishment got into it, because I used to like things like, my mom told me to go to a corner, you're in trouble, go read a book. I'll sit here and enjoy the book and get lost in it. It would be just game over. But we would get instant gratification. And the thing is, like, my little brother, he's a Gen Z. Is that the one below us? Gen Z? Yeah. That boy gets everything under the sun. Super, super spoiled. Couldn't tell him shit. He straight up knows that if he does good long enough, he can get all his shit back. and no offense, my parents, like, oh no, we're not super strict with him because we got tired. And you don't realize how much you done entitled him to think that he can do minimum fucking work. And the thing is, it started with us. So our parents sat here and fucked us up by making us do minimum work, giving us everything they didn't have as kids, giving us everything that they wanted as adults. And I'll use this as an example. My dad, to this day, will sit here and say, I'm buying a game system or I'm buying this for my child, and then turn around and buy it for himself, essentially. Or say it's for the household. But essentially, he's buying him his younger version a gift or something of him for something that he didn't have growing up, and saying it's for the kids. And yes, now we're still getting those things and we're reaping the benefits of it, but we're not really putting in the work or the effort of going through the same things that they went through. My dad used to have a job. I think I was the only one that was forced to have a job out of all my siblings. Khadijah didn't get to have a job, because I think, who was it that said that you shouldn't have one? Mama said that? No, Papa said. okay, so my dad told my stepsister she shouldn't have a job. Well, my stepmom was like, no, she needs to have a job to learn. And she was technically, you know, should have had one. Did you have a job as a teen?
Yeah. My first job was when I was 15, and it was a Hallmark. It was terrible.
Oh, my God. I can imagine. Hallmark?
Hallmark.
Ugh.
Yeah, it was awful.
Every time I hear Hallmark, I just think of holiday movies.
Yeah. I worked there for, like, 2 years and then got fired.
Oh, my God. I don't know about y'all, but my dad had me hustling. Used to tell me to go sell, like, these long-ass popsicles. Now, if you're from the Midwest, and I'm pretty sure there's a few other places that do it, but they used to be popsicles that used to be, like, as long as my fucking arm. And he used to give me enough money to buy, like, a bunch of them. And I used to sell them to the kids on the block. Or I used to, like, I worked under the table for a few places that my dad had when I went to go visit him for the summer. And I used to make money that way. And then I also had, like, an uncle where I could sit here and hustle him straight up. And like, yeah, Unc, I lost my $20 you gave me. Can you give me more? I lost the $20. Like, I don't know what happened. It fell out my hand in the street somewhere, and I pocketed the $20 and then turned around to get another 20. End up with $40 before the day is over with. I used to hustle the fuck out of my uncle. But that was because, you know, that's what we do in the Midwest when you're in Chicago. You have nothing better to do. Hustle the fuck out of that. But I did it also because my uncle used to give my cousin, his child, less money than me. And he would always give me more money. So what I would used to do in order for us to kind of equal out and share our money together, because this is why this is my A1 since day one, I used to sit here and we'll tell my uncle, but like, yeah, so I lost my money and stuff like that, so make it even, like, between the two of us, $60, so we both have $30. And I'm the older cousin, so that's what we used to do. And he used to just love me because I was a sweet, innocent one. Seemed like, you know, the ghetto ain't taint me and stuff. So I would sit here and hustle him. So me and my cousin both have an equal amount of money. And we'll just split it up and buy a whole bunch of, like, you know, chews and fruities and all that other stuff. I'm really showing my age right now because that's all the fucking candy that we used to eat. But we didn't have to really hustle. We didn't have to do all that stuff. Our parents made sure we didn't have to do that. Unlike my dad's generation where they had to hustle, they had to make ends meet, they struggled to survive to help their parents because they didn't want their parents to struggle. My parents don't struggle, so it's not like I have to do any of those other things. I started working to make money because my mom wanted to teach me responsibility. I started off like every teenage girl, babysitting. Like, I think I started babysitting when I was like 12, legally. I gotta use that age, but I was babysitting my brother way before then because my mom was in the military as a single parent, and I used to watch my brother for a few hours, but we had a neighbor that would come and check on us, but essentially, I was the one watching my brother. My mom used to pay me for it, and then at one point, she was like, I'm not gonna pay you for something you're supposed to do. That's your younger brother, and then I started babysitting other kids, so I learned how to work at a young age because essentially, that's what my mom felt. But then as I got older and I realized that with my other, like, more siblings came into play, they didn't have to do the same shit that I had to do. But some of them are still millennials. Like, my sister and my brother are still millennials. And unfortunately, they didn't go through the same stuff that I went through. But the expectation placed on millennials is so fucking high because of we're at that weird in-between phase where it was that transition of the struggle generation to, like, the generation that gets everything fucking handled to them. And, oh, you have a cute face. We're just going to give you money because of TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and all this other stuff. And I came from a generation where AOL was a thing and AIM, and you couldn't be on the fucking computer at the same time that people were on the fucking phone. Like, you had to pick a struggle. Either your mom was on this phone call or you were on the internet. So I don't internet well at all. And when I tell people, like, I got picked on because I took so long to get on Facebook, it's not even fucking funny. Like, everybody else I knew who was of legal age to get on Facebook or lied about their age to get on Facebook, I was still on fucking MySpace like a fucking G. Like, MySpace is still tipping, you know, top 10s, that's what it is. Hi, boo! And it's just it. So, like, for me, like, it was weird. And even to this day, like, millennials, it's weird. If you're not toxic, then you're not fitting in. It's like we never fucking left high school. Essentially. And I look at it on social media. And it's like seasonal depression. Like, I get it. Our generation's a little bit better because we talk about mental health. And we're trying to break those generational curses. Because we're actually like, we're the ones that are going to be like, oh, we're going to break those curses. We're going to do mental health. We're going to go see therapy. God, but the trauma that our parents put on us is like, whoa. Because our parents sat there and told us and beat in our heads. Well, at 25, I was married with kids. I'm sorry. My parents. I was 20 years old, married with a child on the way. Essentially, my parents, my grandparents, my stepmom, my grandmother was 16 years old when she got pregnant. My grandfather was 18. And then my mom was 20, and my dad was turning 21 right before I was born. And essentially, they made me feel like I didn't accomplish anything. And even when I turned 20, my mom, for the longest, I think for a good 3 to 4 years after I turned 20 years old, my mom was like, well, when are you going to give me a grandbaby? Not realizing that you're still placing the American dream, or what the American dream for our society is supposed to be, is by a certain age, you're supposed to be married, you're supposed to have kids, you're supposed to have this, well, six-figure fucking job. And the thing is, how is it that we're supposed to accomplish all these things or do all of these things when we have people who are stealing other people's ideas, where there's nobody able to stay in healthy relationships for long periods of time? That when you actually do get somebody who's healthy, you automatically think that person's toxic because society is basically put on social media that there's no such thing as a healthy fucking relationship. And healthy relationships are fake. Oh, and then the generation below above us basically said that you can't have mental health problems. That's just you letting everything get to you, not realizing that they actually created us this way. You made us worried about living and being successful. I have extenuating test anxiety because of my parents. My mother's, and let me say this again, my mother's, plural, has given me so much anxiety about my grades, about my tests. Like, even to this day, when I hear my mom talk to my younger brother, who is not he's not a millennial. I think he's a Gen Z. When I hear her talk to my brother about his grades, it's like, literally, you created us with that anxiety. We constantly live with your voice in our head when we're going through life thinking, damn, I will never be good enough. I will never be enough. Seasonal depression comes from our childhood because of how our parents put down on us. And they wonder why we kind of have, like, these barriers above us and why we don't technically give two flying fucks, but we care too fucking much. We are literally living in limbo, where we care too much and then not enough. There's no in between. It's either we care too much or we don't care enough. And then, of course, as my Logan basically said, that's all and well paying jobs are taken up by the older generations. Yes, but you want to know something I found out? A lot of the older generations, they may have all these degrees, these diplomas. They done went through school, paid that shit off after they done basically retired. A lot of these people are coming in who are newbies, freshly out of college, and they're getting paid more than some of the generations, the older generations. Like, it is in some particular cases. And even then, for their generation, they do get in some trouble for having too many degrees and too much experience. Because at that point, jobs actually will not hire you if you're overqualified. It's fucked up. I've seen it. I actually talked to a lady. The reason why she started working in aviation was because she couldn't afford to retire. She's older. The retirement money was just not good anymore. So she came out of retirement to work. And then when she applied for what she used to work in, she was overqualified. So they wouldn't hire her. So she basically had to go back to start from square one, because that's the only place that will hire her. So that she went into aviation. But didn't that go through with your grandfather too? Where he was at one point in time overqualified? Because he had too much? My grandfather, my only living grandparent, he has a master's degree. Me and him, we were talking about it when I told him I was going back to school. And then that I'm going to continue going through school and I might get my master's. He's like, yeah, do it. But then when you think about how much it costs for us to go to school now than how much it costs for them to go to school. Now, my grandfather is basically, what is it, a baby boomer? He is 16 years older than my mom. 18 years older than my mom. I'm assuming he's a baby boomer. I'm assuming. Probably. Baby boomer. Anyway. Yes, the system does suck. I agree 100%. He went for his master's, and when he went to get his master's, he basically got it for way less than what the fuck we gotta go to school for. For us to get... I'm gonna put this as a trigger warning, because honestly, some of the people who was actually graduating and got their bachelor's degree, and some people who got their master's degree already could probably relate to this and how crippling it is. But you're giving 8 years of your life, depending on what your degree is, minimum 8 years of your life to class. You don't have time to really work. And if you do work, you're working full-time, you're in school full-time, you barely have time to socialize, you're trying to juggle everything and the expectation that your parents have basically placed on you, and then when you finally do get out of school, now you have this crippling student loans that you got to pay for, because if you didn't know, master's degrees you can't get student loans for, in some cases. In some cases, my friend, she applied for her student loan and they would not apply for it. But then again, her parents are rich. So she's, what is it? Not a trust fund baby, as I like to call it. Where you basically have money, your parents have money. Ironically, she went to Wesley Chapel too. She basically had bank. This girl literally paid for most of the fucking stuff for us to travel. Anytime we were short, her parents was like, oh my god, we throw money into the drama program and the choir program. She was one of them babies. But then her master's degree, they would not give her a loan for it. At all. She could not get a loan for her master's degree. She had to pay for it. But then again, her parents were like, it's alright, honey, we got you, and paid for her entire master's degree.
That's why she didn't get the loan.
Exactly. Her parents could afford it. Like, what the fuck? And then now And the thing is, she actually told me one day when she was having, like, a seasonal depression breakdown, she's like, I actually envy you because I have never had to struggle a day in my life, and now that her parents are not paying for her life, she doesn't know what the fuck to do. She is living in California, she has her own place, yes, but her parents have literally cut her off after school. And she's like, I don't know what to fucking do.
That's so sorry.
Y'all are the worst. Oh yeah, because Nico wants to square up with her. Nico is ready to fight. She was a silver spoon baby. She got basically every fucking thing she wanted. And then when she got her master's degree, her parents basically told her the last year of her getting her master's is you are on your own. And they cut her loose. She didn't have to work while she was in school. They paid for it. She has to pay her bachelor's degree. Huh?
I have a comment. I appreciate Logan's Hamilton reference.
Oh, yeah. I'm a trust fund baby. You can trust me. Yes. Yes. That's now I want to watch Hamilton, but we're not going to talk about that. Anyway, it's just like she still has to pay her bachelor's degree. She moved all the way to California for a guy she met on social media. She had money, and it's so bad because she gave me the clearance for this episode to go ahead and explain what happened, because I felt so bad for her because her parents basically set her up for failure. She has never worked a day in her life, so she has no work ethics, none whatsoever. She doesn't know how to deal with the stress of work, nothing. She got out of school for her degree, and she's not even working in the field. She is now working at a fucking office she hates. She's barely making enough to pay her rent. She used all the savings she had from high school and college because she put money over to the side to save and stuff. Moved to California, paid her rent for a year. And this is before COVID. Mm. And basically, she doesn't know what to do. She's had 5 breakdowns in the past year. And she doesn't know what to do. She was literally the perfect fucking... I thought everything was going to be well for her. She was going to be married, all this other stuff. She's 30 years old, only had two serious boyfriends, and now she's dealing with real life. And her parents have set her up for fucking failure. And, like, she doesn't know how to balance a checkbook. She doesn't know how to... Like, I don't think any of our generation really learned how to balance a fucking checkbook, because economics is like, we're going to teach you how to do that and never fucking teach us. It's a very good skill to have. Like, I opened up a bank account at fucking 14 years old and still don't know how to fucking balance a checkbook. I don't even know how to write a check properly, and I have to remind myself, do we put out the hundreds? And I'm snitching on myself so bad.
I don't know how to write a check correctly, but I do know how to balance a checkbook. It's assets and liabilities.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm joking. I know how to balance a checkbook. I know how to balance a due budget. But a lot of people don't. And they say that in economics. Oh, you're going to learn that in economics. Just like they don't teach you how to be a good fucking parent in fucking family development. Like, they don't teach you that shit in high school. They just say, hey, don't have a baby. Here's this fake baby that we're going to give you, and you can't drop it. It's going to monitor. It's going to say how many times you dropped it and if you fed it on time and this, that, and the other. And then that doesn't really teach you how to be a good parent. Because, look, there's really shit parents out there. Prime example, Casey Anthony. Oh, let me tell you, the first time I ever had to do taxes, I think I called my ex's mom crying. I wasn't even dating him anymore, but I called his mom. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Please help me. She's like, here, go to TurboTax. And I'm not trying to sell TurboTax. They're not endorsing this in any way, shape, or form. But I've been using TurboTax for the past, like, 12 years now. Because she told me to go to TurboTax. And she's like, it will walk you through the steps. And if you need any help, I got you. And I was like, then the first time I had to do, like, a 1099 form, I was like, I don't know what any of this is.
I hate 1099.
Oh, I hate it. Don't ever think you're going to start a business and think that you're going to be great. Because once you get that first 1099 form, and God forbid you make over a certain amount in a quarter, now you got to file taxes 4 times every quarter. Like, every quarter you got to file taxes, and you're like, and they say, be a business owner, they say. It will be fun, they say. You ain't got to work for nobody no more, they say. Do y'all understand, like, like, when I tell you I have been doing hustle jobs in between my 9-to-5s for years, so those 1099s, I've kind of gotten them down pat. I haven't figured out what is tax deductible and not tax deductible. Like, I learned from experience, but it took me like 10 years to get here. Like, I don't think that I learned this shit overnight. Even, like, for, like, my accountant shit, like, I have to tax out. But luckily, you know, certain sites, you know, tax out for you, so it works out. It's depressing. It's depressing. Our generation, and then the thing is, I still to this day hear, even with TikTok, Instagram Reels, Facebook, wannabe Reels, all that other shit, and these older generations still ragging on our generation, talking about back in my day, you know, this, that, and a third, it was this amount, and then come down to it, and we're still in the same situation. Yes, minimum wage is a little bit higher, but the cost of living goes up too. So we still have to hustle. We still have to go stuff. Oh, our generation is the generation that's quick to, like, oh, I don't need this job, and walk the fuck up out of it before they even have another fucking job. But not realizing that, yes, there is thousands of jobs out there, but then it's because everybody has that same mentality that we are literally causing a ripple effect in our economy. They're affecting it. They're like, oh, I don't need this job, fuck this job, and then walk the fuck out without giving a 2 weeks notice. making it hard. Our generation literally is going to make it harder for the next generation. And we think that we're doing some good, and we're really not. Because our parents never taught us stability. I don't know about your parents, but hell, my parents definitely didn't teach me stability. Has your parents taught you stability?
My mom's an accountant, so yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah.
But does that mean that I listened? No.
That is. It's about deliverance, too. How they deliver it to you. Sometimes parents don't deliver it in the right way. Like, my dad's like, this is the things I've been trying to tell you your entire life. And I'm like, how? By yelling it at me? By a by beating it into my body? Like, no, baby, that's not how we, there gotta be other ways. I'm the, and my dad will tell you, I, out of all his kids, I'm the most emotional one, 100%. But then again, I'm the only, like, water sign in his life other than him. And I got it honest. Have you met my dad? Yeah. He is. Huh? Yeah, I know.
They're both water signs.
Oh, they're both Pisces.
Oh my god.
Both my dad and my stepmom are Pisces. Oh, we are. Oh, we are emotional wrecks. That's. Shut up. Shut up. And you know what though? We didn't get along until me and my parents did not get along when I first moved in. I moved in at like 14, about to be 15. We did not get along with each other until I was an adult. Like, straight up. When I got sick with my endometriosis, because my endometriosis used to have me throwing up real bad right before my cycles, my dad's first instinct is, are you pregnant? I'm like, no! You gotta have sex! I'm not having sex! I don't even have a boyfriend! Like, bleh. Like, what do you want? And it's just weird because that's how their generation was. Like, if you were sick throwing up in a teenage years, you couldn't just be sick. You were literally over-exaggerating. Like, this is why most people don't realize, like, I do shit by myself because my parents, for the most part, I love my parents. So don't think that I'm ragging on them and I'm not trying to drag them in their, you know, stuff. It's just how their generation is. Like, I tell people, like, y'all have no room to judge my parents because at the end of the day, this is their generation. Their generation is different than our generation. Their generation handled things differently. The way we handle things is a reflection of their generation, unfortunately. But my dad's generation, if a teenage girl was throwing up, they're automatically pregnant. And honestly, I wasn't pregnant. I literally was throwing up because I was sick with an invisible disability that people didn't know I had until I was damn near 21 years old. I had it since I was, like, officially 9, because that's how I was. They were like, oh, you're over-exaggerating your cramps. And then, God forbid you be African-American and go to the fucking doctors and say that you have some pain. They look at you like, oh, you're exaggerating. You could take this. Unfortunately, that's still a generational thing that's been passed down from generation to generation in doctors, because we were experimented on and we used to just take things as they were. Black people, know your history. But it's just, like, our generation is weird. Our generation is the only generation that sits here and promotes toxicity in a relationships level, in a financial level. We joke about it, but then we are the first generation to want to fucking cancel somebody. Y'all sit here and promote this toxic fucking ass shit. And then be the first one to cancel celebrities over the same shit that y'all promoting and gassing up. Like, straight up. It's so weird. Like, as long as you're not personally affecting me or personally chastising me as a person, I don't give two fine folks what you say about anybody. What you say about sex workers or anything else like that. I have a problem with racism. And I do have a problem with sexism. And I definitely have a problem with people judging other people's lives. Because we do have a lot of millennial Christians who are very judgmental and they pass a lot of judgment. And a lot of older generations too. And I always have to remind people, like, at the end of the day, what that person does should not affect you. My dad is a firm believer of, if it is not affecting me directly, if you're not harming me, hurting me, touching me, or whatever, I don't care what the fuck you do. What you live your life. It's not affecting me in any way, shape, or form. And that's how I've always been. If you are not affecting me straight up, I don't care. And I'm a firm believer, if you are not feeding me, fucking me, paying my bills, I don't give two flying fucks what the fuck you do. I really don't care. I just don't. But our generation is so hell-bent on other people and what they're doing and how they're living and what's going on in their lives. And that's what makes us depressed. We also have that expectation from other generations, and that's like, oh, by this age, I was this, that, and a third, and I was doing this, and I was doing that. I am 30 years old. At one point in time, when you were 14 years old, you had to be married or betrothed to somebody, and then getting ready to be married to that person. And this is generations ago. At 14 years old, you should already be spoken for. In some cultures, you actually already legally married to some people, and it's a lot of people just like, oh my god, we're so, because that's their culture. We need to stop imposing on other people's stuff, what they do in their lives. That's, is it makes them happy, is there their tradition, is this what they're gonna do? Some people are still gung-ho on that position and their tradition and everything that goes with it, but some things I may not agree with, but that at the end of the day, who am I to tell them what they're doing is right or wrong? I just live my life the way I'm supposed to live it. Be truthful. And as a generation of millennials where we get crippling depression and we want to drink our way through bottles and, you know, get high every damn day to not deal with the stress of the world because we don't know how to properly deal with it. We're at that weird generation where we're trying to figure it out. A lot of us are seeking mental health. A lot of us is seeking guidance. A lot of us is trying to find balance in this chaotic world that is our world. We still deal with racism every damn day. We still deal with people who are sexist. We still deal with people in other generations that are sitting here constantly telling us, oh, you know, when it was my time, this is what we were doing and this, that, and the other. And we have to deal with those expectations that has been placed on us. And we are, some of us are drowning and some of us are surviving. Some of us are making do. It depends on where you fall in the, you know, millennial scale. My sister, she's 25 years old, but I promise you, if you sit down and talk to her, she has those moments where she is the most wisest adult child you'll ever talk to. And it's so weird because my sister is so fucking responsible, but then at the same time, she's so irresponsible at the same time. She's also a procrastinator, but it's okay. I love her. No, he don't want you. He wants to come be the center of his show now. If you don't stop cocking your ears back at me. But his butt is in the screen. We're going to take his butt out. Anywho. Depression and millennials. As I've said this before, nobody has taught us really how to live life. And I don't honestly think our parents knew how to live their lives either. They just knew this is what we were supposed to do. But they didn't know how to teach it to us, to make it for us to learn a lesson, for us to get through life, to deal with divorce, to deal with that. Because our generation, out of all the generations, has the highest divorce rate. Nobody's taught us how to, you know, stay married. Nobody's taught us how to stay at a job that, you know, makes ends meet. Some of us will leave a job that is high paying because we're miserable to go for a job that's less pay. It makes us not little less miserable. And it's just like, it's weird because we want to be successful. We want to sit here and not only be successful in society's eyes, but also in our eyes. Like for me, it took me realizing that I can't get mad at where I'm at in my life. I had a lot of expectations when I was an adult. Like when I was a kid, I had a lot of expectations. When I finally got out of that abuse household mindset and I was willing to open up and be around people and everything else like that, and actually sit down and get my life together, and
right before the last year of school, they had us write down like what was our goals and dreams and ambitions. And when I tell you, I told my teacher straight up, they were like, "Oh, you don't want to get married?" I was like, "No, I don't want to fucking get married." I didn't say those words exactly. I just told them literally my goal was by 30 have a child and a house and be in the medical field. Straight up, that was literally it. And I wanted a house, and like I said, I wanted a kid. They were like, "Oh, you don't want a husband?" I was like, "No, I didn't want a husband." And surely enough, that was the first thing that fucking happened. I got married. Like, how does that work out? And it's just like, society, even in school, teaches us that getting married and having kids and, you know, all that other stuff is kind of like the dream for women, is for us to do that. But now they're being a little bit more lenient. I have not been in high school in like 12 years. More than that at this point. But it's just like, society and the American dream and what we are supposed to be doing is literally crippling even a millennial standpoint to today's society, because we have these expectations, these guidelines, what we're supposed to do in a certain timeline, not realizing that it's not about the guideline, it's not about the outline of what we're supposed to be doing by a certain age or by based off of your race or sex, this is what you should be doing. It's about keep moving and not allowing society to tell us when we're supposed to get to that destination or how we're supposed to get to that destination or what we're supposed to stop at on the way there. It's as long as we live our life. We have all this stuff and these means, especially millennials. We have this expectation of entertaining and portraying our lives to be a certain way when they're actually not. And a lot of the times I tell people like when they ask me like, "Hey, how are you doing?" And if I'm not okay, I tell them, "What do you want to hear? You want to hear an ugly lie? I mean, a pretty lie or an ugly truth? Like, I'm going to give you your option, because I'm not going to lie to you willingly unless I really don't like you. And then I'm going to tell you straight up, like, I'm all right." And that's just it. I'm not even going to give you an option because I don't really want you to know, because I don't trust you. And I tell people straight up, I have trust issues. Like, I come up on my dating profile, the ones that are still active anyway, my dating profile basically says, like, I come with warning labels. If you are coming to think that you're going to come fuck me, you got another thing coming. I'm demisexual, and if you need to know what the definition of that, Google, and if you still ask me what demisexual is, please do not even bother to swipe on me. Like, literally swipe the other direction. If you have to sit here and send me a message and say, "What is demisexual?" you need to just go ahead and find somebody else. I am not the one you need to talk to at all, in any way, shape, or form. And even then, it's like, I get told because I'm pansexual, I'm selfish. Oh, you high. I sprayed his bowl with catnip, so he's a little high right now. So he's living his best cat life. But the thing is, like, that's one thing about our generation, is that we're so straightforward, almost, in a way. But we also we care too much about people's opinions of us, but then we also don't care. But I'm one of those people, I just don't care all around. Like, straight up, I ain't got time to waste. I'm 30 years old, about to be 31. I'm demisexual, so don't think that you're just going to come here and fuck. Like, literally, like, people still care about what people think, but then at the same time, we don't. And it's so weird because social media makes it so easy for us to lie about who the fuck we are that we could be fake. Millennials is one of the fakest generations. Like, we can't even be true to ourselves 100% of the time. Like, some of these people who are sitting here talk about, you know, these toxic trends, which is my fucking worst... It's my most hated toxic, like, trend that they have on TikTok is like, "Oh yeah, you know, you toxic when this, that, and the other," and they list off the toxic traits of what they are. And it's mainly millennials who are doing it. But it's just like, y'all take pride on being toxic. Like, for what reason? Why is that a thing? Why do you take pride of having multiple girlfriends and being side pieces? Like, people sit here and take pride in that. And then you get mad when we bash you for it, but then talk about, "Oh, don't do me, da 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 da," but you publicly made it known that that's what you're into. Why? You care so much about what society think about you, but then you don't care enough. And I've been a firm believer, like, I don't post my real name on anything on social media, because who I am on social media is one way. Like, like I said last episode, on the social media episode, on Facebook, you get my family stuff, and that's me being, you know, very PG for my family's sake, and this, that, and the other. And then Twitter is where you get all my smut, and so you might see, you know, randomly, I cannot be at work and open up my Twitter any way, shape, or form, because porn seems to always be summoned on that fucking page. I don't get it. Like, my timeline is disgusting. Them some fucking heathens. They are filthy, nasty people on my damn timeline. But it is what it is. And then my Instagram is my modeling stuff and the things that I like to follow, and pictures and art and stuff like that, because I love art. Like, you would not know by just looking at me that I actually like deep conversations. I don't care for short talk. I don't care for that. I like going to the museum. I like talking about music. I love music. My ideal dates are literally, you know, picnics when it's not fucking freezing cold outside, and like going to the museum. It's somebody who could teach me and learn me something, because I like evolving. I cannot just deal with the, oh, would you ever, I had somebody ask me on one of my AMAs, would you ever date an ugly guy? I was like, yeah, because looks fade. Oh no, you don't seem like the type. I was like, but the thing is, you could be a fucking 10 and be a fucking asshole, and then I could date a 6 and he'd be the sweetest fucking guy in the world and everything else like that. And it's just it does not matter about looks to me. It's about how the fuck you treat somebody. We are so fucking consumed in our image as millennials. It's fucking disgusting. I look bummy as fuck half the fucking time, I swear to God. And it doesn't help that, you know, filters for our generation, I know filters has been generated and catered to millennials and Gen Zs, but that doesn't help us with our image either. You know what's so bad? And I'm going to tell a story about me deciding to venture back onto the dating app scene recently. I was on a dating app. I'm not going to disclose which dating app, but I was on a dating app. And I was sitting here, like, looking for local people, and I straight up, like, this person, like, their bio was, like, spot on. Like, they were speaking my language, you know, they like science, they like museums, they like this. They were like, yeah, you know, and anime. I was like, oh my God, okay, cool, great, all right, you won, you sold me, all right, let's talk. And they also told me they hated small talk. So I swipe on the person, and then, like, their bio said that they were in their 30s, right? I was like, all right, cool. They're not, you know, like, they're not a baby. Blah, 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 blah. I sat here and I swiped on them, and then we started talking, and then I realized that his profile didn't add up to him. He likes small talk. He is actually 22 and stuff like that. This is why it makes people depressed being on social media. And he also looked like he was in his early 20s. I'm not gonna lie. His picture definitely made him. But, like, when he had his beard, he looked like he was, like, you know, could be pushing his 30s. Beards is literally makeup for men. I don't care what nobody says. Fight me on it. Because you're a totally different person when you wear a beard. I don't care what nobody says. My sister said this about an actor the other day. Who was it that she said it about? Like, the person without a beard and with a beard, they're two different people? John Krasinski. Oh, okay. The dude from Quiet Place. And The Office.
I mean, if you want to compare him in two different settings, The Quiet Place and The Office.
Yeah, Quiet Place and The Office. He's two different people, like, literally. But it makes it fucking hard to be a millennial, because even then, like, I want, call me old-fashioned. It's like, we also have a fight between millennial generations, like, the ones who are, like, closer to your end of the millennial spectrum and then my millennial spectrum. It's like, oh, we're not millennials, because, you know, auntie's a millennial. She don't want to admit that she's a millennial. And she's like, I'm not a millennial. I'm like, yes, you are. You're at the beginning of the millennials, so, yeah, you are. But it's weird that we fight each other about it, and we're like, oh, well, we're the better millennials. I'm like, no, you were just born in a fucking year. And just call it a day. It doesn't matter. You just didn't get the same thing. You didn't get the same upbringing that we did. It's just it. But I lost where I was going with that. Shit. We have fights with a millennial, which it makes no fucking sense at the end of the day. When it comes down to the things that we go on in life, no matter what generation it is, we still kind of see the same struggles. Yeah, we're not going through the same heated race wars as, you know, lynching and stuff like that, which we have had public lynchings in this lifetime, but people don't want to acknowledge or put into a place of it. But we still kind of go through the same things that all the other generations go through. The only difference is how our parents raised us and the society standards and norms. It makes us harder for us to appreciate the things that are going on in our lives as millennials, because we are a generation that grew up with technology, so it was easily accessible for us to sit here and look at other people's lives and see what they're doing and how they're succeeding. And God, seeing like those celebrities who are in their 30s traveling to like different countries, and I'm sitting here like, I can barely afford my rent in New York, like things of that nature. It makes it super hard, and it makes us hard to take time to like get away from it and appreciate the little things in life. And like I said, I'm an old-fashioned millennial where like I don't really need to be on social media all the time. Unfortunately, because of the industry that I'm in, me having a podcast, me modeling, and, you know, at some point in time wanting to have, you know, online therapy sessions with people, I have to promote myself, and I'm horrible at it. And, you know, even then with, like, Kat, with her moving here and stuff like that, social media, she's a photographer. You know, we moved to New York thinking that we were going to have all these expectations, and we put these expectations on ourselves, and we expected so much of ourselves because our parents set us up like that. They set us up to have these high expectations of ourselves that we don't know how to really deal with things and how to balance things. And like, for people to see here, and when they ask me how long have I been single, and I tell them I've been single for 4 years, I get chastised, like, oh, does nobody want you? Why the fuck? Are you approved? Like, this, that, and the other. Like, it makes it hard for people to sit here and realize that it's not about being picky, it's about knowing your self-worth, and that who you spend your time with is important. So people sit here and they kind of make you feel some type of way about it, and, like, fight with you. Like, you could sit here and be, like, fangirling over your favorite celebrity, and then people chastise you about, you know, fangirling over your favorite celebrity. Oh, you know, he will never know that you exist, or she will never know you exist. And you're sitting here like, can I fantasize? You used to, like, the generation before us used to have posters of their fucking celebrities on their fucking walls. Like, I don't get what the fucking difference is. We could publicly be ridiculed compared to the other generation, which makes it harder. And then we have these people who show off their bodies, and because they don't care too much about their bodies, or society has made them believe that they're not beautiful. And even then, it's a lot of the millennials, because we have very low self-image, because we don't have, you know, good regular size role models to look after. We look at these people and like, oh, I need to have a BBL, and society and social media basically says if you don't have a big ass or you have big titties, then you're not really pretty. And guys, like, I literally had to fight with somebody, and I had to take their comments off of my IG because they told me I looked like I had a BBL. I was like, bitch, where? Huh? This is me. This is too much jiggle to be a BBL. This is me, 100% thigh jiggle, so on and so forth. But society basically makes it hard for you to appreciate yourself and love yourself enough. Social media makes you lose yourself in that moment. And then it's just like, we have a culture that is, they thrive on toxic behavior, and they promote it. They promote toxic behavior and not being committed and not being in these healthy relationships. And we are sheep, in a sense, essentially, because we never really got taught how to fucking lead. And in order for us to really fucking lead, you have to take the time. You could tell who was taught how to lead and those who were taught how to follow, because they don't know how to, what anything else. They listen to these celebrities that they follow and stuff like that and believe that this is anthems. Oh, you know, Meg Thee Stallion. And they sit here and got mad when she got a boyfriend. They were like, oh no, you know, she done left us and got a whole boo. She was like, she never said that in order for you to have a hot girl summer, you couldn't have a man. Or, you know, people like JT and the City Girls, like, they sit here and promote about not giving fucks about people, and those are millennials too. I don't care what nobody says. Same with Meg Thee Stallion. They're millennials. They basically y'all follow what these girls say and hang up on their every words versus living by your life through the way that you want to. I tell people all the time, I do not care too much about the music nowadays. Don't get me wrong, I listen to it, I bop to it because the beats are on point, but some lyrics and stuff I can recite them because you listen to the beat long enough. And my parents, my dad used to be a DJ, my dad wants to go back to being a DJ. I've dated DJs, like hell, my best, well, y'all don't consider him my best male friend, but my male friend Marquise is a fucking DJ. Like I listen to the music, but it doesn't necessarily mean I live that life. And he's one of those people, he's met me and known me for a long time, that he could tell you straight up that I am not the type of person to live a certain life. Like, a lot of people like, oh, you must be for the streets. I'm like, bruh, I am a homebody, 100%. Like, I stay home. I am a full introvert. My roommate and my sister will tell you I am literally that way. And that's the reason why it makes it hard for me to want to go out and go date anybody. And that's part of the reason why I've been single for 4 years, is because in order for you to want to date people, I don't like doing social media dating or going to dating apps, because most of those people are just looking for somebody to fuck. They're not looking for anything long term. They're not looking for any kind of commitment. And me, I'm here for a long time, not just a good time. I'm here for both, but definitely the long time, because I want somebody to build with. Because at this point, what are you going to do? You're going to keep, you know, starting and building these small little houses here and huts, and then stop halfway through and be like, fuck it, I don't want to commit to this anymore. So it's just it. Like, our generation don't know how to fucking just sit still long enough to be by ourselves or to be in a relationship with other people, because we feel like there's a lot of opportunities out there. We grew up playing house, and basically every time we got into these relationships with people in high school, we would break up and we set ourselves up for divorce. And then when we get into these long-term relationships, we don't stay in those relationships, or we fight and get back together, but we don't stay together, and we don't fight for anything we believe. And a lot of us people be sitting here sharing like, these are the type of relationships we want, but then we don't know how to fucking stay in one's fucking space. We don't even know how to stay in one fucking job long enough. And I think that's the reason why me and Kat are friends, because we're one of those people that, like, we will stay at a job for a long time until it burns us the fuck out, even if we're not happy there. We'll bitch the entire time, but we'll still stick there. We'll stay, 100%. Now, my sister bitches about her job, but she loves her job, low-key, when they're doing nice things for her, but the customers are not being assholes. And there is some of us who are very, very rare like that. We'll stick through relationships and be loyal with people for long times. Like, I stayed in my marriage way longer than I fucking should have. I should have left, like, a while ago, but I stayed in my relationship because I felt like, you know what, it's worth fighting for. If I decided to do this, this is what I'm going to fight for. I'm going to keep choosing to be in love with this person. And the thing is, like, we as millennials do not do that. There's very few of us that would do it. I'm a very patient person, and to deal with me is a lot of patience. I have to have patience to deal with myself, let alone another person. So if I sit here and I tell somebody I want to be in a relationship with them and I want to work things out with them, I mean that with the deepest part of my core. I'm not just doing it for clout. I'm not doing it for whatever the fuck, you know, this generation wants to say. I realize that I also don't keep up with fucking, you know, new slang and shit at all. I realize that. Hi, Nikki. And it's just like that. I'm one of those weird millennials that is so out of touch with, like, what's hip and what's current and what's going and social media and stuff like that, that when people sit here and, like, they be telling me, like, things, I be sitting here, I had to Google it. Like, when they tell me, like, terms and shit, I was like, what does that mean? Let me bust it down, baby. What does that mean? I feel so old sometimes. Like, because I don't know what the fuck half the shit means. And it's, like, it's weird. Like, I'm 30, and I should be hip to a lot of stuff. And I literally am not. I am literally not as exciting as... I have a very old soul. Yes, you do too, love. We have old souls. We're, like, old school. Like, don't get me wrong, I have, like, a lot of tattoos and all this other stuff. But when it comes down to it, like, not all of us in that generation deals with that. I still deal with a lot of the depression that comes with this generation. But there's very few of us. Like, I'm very old school. I like listening to old school R&B and, you know, Al Green, Marvin Gaye. I literally ran across a video on my fucking Snapchat to remind me that I was married, and at one point in time we were happy and all this other stuff. It was a video of me and my ex-husband dancing in the living room to Love and Happiness. because I was missing my grandmother really, really badly. And I started playing it on Sunday. And then he's like, what do you know about this? He just doing this. And he had me crying because my grandmother, my mom's mom, anytime she used to listen to music, she used to do the same thing. And I started crying because that generation is dying out. Like, that mentality is dying. Like, we gonna be sitting here dancing to ratchet shit in the living room on Sunday while we cleaning up. And I mean, like, it's sad. Like, we don't have those old virtues. And I'm like, I'm one of those people that I am so old school that, like, any man who ever dates me at this point is gonna think I'm fucking weird, or I'm gonna have to date an old head, basically. Because essentially, that's just how I am and how I basically function. And it's just like, I have a lot of patience. I gained a lot of patience from my grandparents and my parents and the shit that I've gone through. But our, like, dating other millennials, like, I've realized none of them have patience. And even then, like, with the person asking me about, oh, could we have a friendship? They messaged me like 3-4 times in 24 hours. And I didn't respond to any of them. One, because I was asleep. And two, I was doing other stuff. But once I started my podcast, they gave me another one talking about, well, if not, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, can I sit down and think? Damn. We haven't talked in years. And you're just automatically wanting to hit me like, oh, let's be friends. And I'm like, first and foremost, your approach is coming to me like giving me much I want to date you vibes. And I know that's not what it is, but it's just more or less I can't afford to answer questions about friendship right now when that's not really my focus at this moment. Like, I got so many things I'm balancing on my plate that I don't even respond to half of my family sometimes. Like, my dad literally told me, oh, here's the child that I barely talk to anymore. Like, it's not just that person. And again, millennials get into this headspace that feel like they have to have this justification or gratification of, you need to answer me, you need to respond to me. And I'm just like, I can't respond to you when I got like 1,000 things going on. Especially with my job, I may or may not be able to respond to you. I may be able to look at your message, but I may not be able to respond to you until I get down to wherever the fuck I'm supposed to be at. Because there be some times y'all be posting like a shit ton of shit and I don't even look at it until like almost the next day because I can't look at it because my phone's like, nah, you ain't got enough service for this, homie. And I'm like, y'all gotta understand, like, it's not me being an asshole, like, straight up. It is what it is. Like, a lot of people are so used to me being available, and I'm not available like that anymore, especially with everything I got going on. I'm really not gonna be available to a lot of people, and their feelings are gonna be real, real hurt. But, guys, I've been doing this for 2 years. Me and my sister, because she's still technically the executive producer. I don't care what she thinks. We've been doing this for 2 years, and y'all just been sitting here watching me vent and give the gospel truth about bullshit in my life and things that go in my head and stuff like that. Luckily, I haven't gone into the serial killer docs because, God forbid, I could talk about that shit forever. I did get told that somebody wants me to sit down and actually read, like, creepypastas because of my voice, and actually read, like, serial killer documentary stuff as well. I couldn't say words. Word vomit is a thing. It happens. Hi guys, if y'all forgot, English is not my best language. I speak very fluent awkward. Welcome to my world. But it's just more or less like, we've been doing it for 2 years. I created a goal. I set the goal. I made the goal a thing, and I'm still going 2 years strong, and I'm not going to stop said goal because I love it. I love being able to talk to you guys and vent with you guys and, you know, share how my mind works and kind of process things, because honestly, this podcast is therapy for me. Even if I do have therapy and I do have a therapist that I go and seek, this podcast is therapy to me. And my favorite episode so far this last season was my legacy episode. The guy one was this season too, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my two favorite episode was my legacy episode and my Father's Day episode with my guys. If you guys haven't checked those out, definitely check it out. Like, later down the line and stuff on Spotify, on Reku's Weekend Detox, or on YouTube, because we didn't start posting on YouTube until season two, as well. But, like, honestly, guys, like, I appreciate you guys for being here, tuning in, talking it out. I'm thinking probably for season three, start talking a little bit more on sex, a little bit more on sexual orientation and other current events that are going on, dealing with a lot of healthy relationship habits and things of that nature, understanding patience. Because like I said, millennials, we lack patience. And I literally got on somebody about that, like, not too long ago. But, like, you have to have patience. Like, people don't understand that, like, yeah, I come off like I'm impatient. But then I sit down and breathe, like, you know what? Everything have is due time and when it needs to happen. And at the same time, like, I've been doing this for 4 years. And it's sometimes I still kind of take a couple steps back when it comes to having patience and understanding and everything else like that. I just don't let everything get to me anymore. Like, I've gone through hell and back. And I realized that having high blood pressure was not a fun period in my life. And I stopped being on high blood pressure medicine because of me stop caring. Like, I literally was just like, if I keep letting things get to me, it's going to make me upset. And I'm one of those people, I had to start living by what I said, which is plan, expect the best, but plan for worse. And I just planned. Because I'm an overthinker. I overthink everything. I overanalyze everything. I'm one of those people, if I have a trip, I have to pack a week in advance. And then I overthink my packing and repack like 4 or 5 times in between that week. My sister hates it because I hate when she waits until the night of to pack. And I'm like, we leave tomorrow. That was London all over again. I was so pissed off. I am the mom friend. But I realized that, you know what, you can't control other people. You can only control yourself and how you look at things. So, guys, girls, everything in between, it, she, they, them, it, in him. I say it this way, guys. Like, if a person's not affecting you personally, don't let it get to you. I understand social media makes it super, super hard as millennials to live our lives, especially older millennials, where we're seeing these younger generations be successful, be published, and do all these fancy things that we can't do. Just remember that that's their life path, and they found a method that works for them. Like me, I can be successful in modeling if I actually put in the work and everything else like that, but I've gotten places that I am now because of the work that I put in, and what's meant for me is meant for me. And if I keep looking at other podcasts or looking at other models or looking at everything, all it's going to do is make me depressed. And the only thing that I can do is support and celebrate other people who are in the same industry as me. Because you can only control you. You can only do so much. And then a lot of people are like, well, you're not putting in the work. That's the reason why you don't have the results, which is a very true factor. I know what I'm trying to do. I have a lot of things on my plate, and I'm not going to get rid of those things because I told myself when I got said plate that I was wanting to eat. And in order for me to eat, I have to keep consuming the things that I put on my plate. And I decided school, I decided work, I decided my modeling and this podcast. And I make time for all of them when I need to make time because that is the decision I made. So if one thing is lacking, it's not because I'm not putting in the work that I want to. I'm putting in the work that I can because of all the things else that I decided to do, because ultimately my end goal is my career and my legacy. And my legacy is based off of what I'm choosing to do in my life. And then I also have other things coming as well. You can only control what you can control. And a lot of people in our generation don't know how to do that. So we need to learn to control what we can control. Social media is a great platform, but it's also very detrimental in mental health for millennials. So just try to limit it. Don't try to consume yourself. It makes it super easy for you to look at other people's graphs, or see what they want you to see anyway, because a lot of people will not promote what's really going on behind closed doors. So just always stay focused on your real life and real reality. I try to tell people, like, y'all will never know I'm in a relationship until, like, it's way too late. At that point, me and that person's about to get married. That's how you gonna know. I'm gonna be like Lisa Rae up in this bitch. Like, she turned around and got married. And nobody knew she got married until she got married. Like, oh, you were dating somebody the whole time? Like, what happened? That's going to be me. Because honestly, it's a smart thing to do because you don't need people preying on your downfall. It makes it super easy for people to prey on your downfall, and it makes it super easy for people to sit here and look at the false reality that we have created, be consumed by the Matrix. Life is way too short. Take the risk. Those things that you said that you want to do, start that book you said you want to start, start it. You want to go take more photos, take more photos. If you want to read that book, go pick up that book. If you want to date that person that you never thought just you could ever date and they're available right now, take that opportunity. Don't wait for society to tell you or tell you when the right time is, because there's never a right time. Now is the right time. We wait for the signs to say when is the right time, and there's never ever a right time to start anything or to do anything. And that's something I've learned over the years, is that it's never about when is the right time. It's about, do you have the means and the will to do it? I didn't have all the supplies to make this podcast work, and I still did it. I have a book that's coming out February 2020, a poetry book coming out. 2022. I'm sorry, I said my birthday. February 22, 2022. And I decided now was the right time. I've been pushing this book back since my auntie Cindy died. Well, she's technically my sister's aunt, but she was the reason I wanted to write a book. She told me to write a book. And I know she's my aunt too. You know she's on my dedication page, right? She's on my dedication page. Huh? Yeah. When my aunt passed and stuff, I was already starting the book at that time. And when she passed, I put a pin on it, and then I decided I'm going to finish it. And I said, what is a better gift to myself than write this book and have it published by my birthday? And it just works, because that'll be 02-22-22-2. So it works out. So February 2022 is when my book is going to be published, and it's not because it's the right time. Or it's not because I say it's the right time. It's because if it doesn't get published, it's not going to get published. It's just because I need to push it. I have to stop waiting for the right time and just go. And it's going to be an opportunity for other people who are helping me get out and get known and everything else like that. Which the person who took the cover photo is Kat. She took the very, she took that. So I'm getting her an opportunity to get published not once but twice now. And she's super happy and excited about it. And she hasn't read any of my poems, so we'll see how that's going to go. but it's because this is a very intimate part of me. And I was scared about what society was going to think. But you know what? Again, as a millennial, we care too much and then we don't care enough. We don't give two flying fucks, but then we care too much. So it was just one of those things I was like, you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm going to have haters and I'm going to have people who love it. So I'm going to just do the thing. I'm going to just make it happen. So this is what we're doing. And sometimes it's about taking that leap of faith, because unfortunately life is like playing Russian roulette. You're going to basically keep going until you get shot. And that's just it. And I hate to say it, but life is too short, especially with a lot of celebrities dying at young ages. You know, young Dolph just got killed going to the fucking store to get cookies for his mom or grandmother, and he got shot and he was young. It just goes to show you that you could be at any point in time, lose your life, and then you have so many regrets when you go up to whatever afterlife that you believe in, and you're like, what did I do with my life? I've always decided to be a good person, because at the end of the day, you don't know what is going to be at the other end of the tunnel. And I don't want to live with regrets. Being a hateful and vengeful and mean person was just never made me feel good. It's just never been a bone in my body to ever be mean. I'm actually a comfort friend for a lot of people. Or a mom figure for a lot of people. So just go do the thing. Be true to you 100%. Don't let society and generations tell you what the fuck you're supposed to be doing at this point in time, because it will make you depressed, especially during the holidays. Oh, you're not spending time with your family. Your family will understand. be true to you always. Last thing I will definitely go ahead and say is this. As we go into the next season, just remember what the motto is. It's okay to not be okay. Ask for help if you need help. There's somebody who's willing to be by your side. You matter, especially my gentlemen, you matter. My ladies, you matter too. Don't let nobody halfway love you. Self-love is the best love, and self-care is the best care. And if you find somebody that really loves and cares and supports for you, even if you've been in a toxic relationship and you have somebody who's healthy and everything, don't punish them because of your past relationship. Come to them and say, hey, I don't know how to approach this because I've never had anything good or stable, so I don't know how to handle it. So just remember that if you have somebody good in your life, hold on and cherish them, because there's so many few and in between people in life that are actually good people. Especially in our generation, a generation that promotes toxic behavior and toxic mentality and unhealthy traits. Just remember, guys, that there are still good people out there that have no ill will and ill intention. But always love yourself first, because how can someone else love you if you don't love you? And finding loving yourself is a very hard thing to learn. Believe me. I've been doing it for a little over 7 years now, and it took me a long time to even get to that point. So, till next season, which will probably be right before my birthday, I hope you guys have a safe and wonderful evening, holiday, and just know you can follow my social medias. At Twitter is B_REIKO. Again, you'll probably see a lot of smut on there. I'm so sorry, guys. My Instagram, which is model_LadyReiku, REIKO. And my Facebook, which is lady_Reiku/facebook.com, or model Reiku P Blackheart, which is another one. And I'll see you guys for season 3. Thank you guys for sticking it out for 2 seasons. If you're from your friendly neighborhood, which... Happy holidays.